Good morning and welcome to the Capitalized Breakfast podcast. It feels good to say that after a couple of weeks away, but I'm Alex and I'm joined by Kirsty McGregor.
Alex Clark. Oh, nice to meet you, Alex.
Yeah, I know it's been a while. I almost fumbled my lines there. I forgot to read the rest of your sentence, but this is Kirsty McGregor, everybody, the well-known accountant in residence at Capitalized, chiming in. So rusty, in fact, after a few weeks away on the pod that I almost fluffed the entrance. Normally we save that just for the bloopers. But some would say I've been gallivanting around Europe drinking fine wine and eating pasta. I would say I've been smartly avoiding the harsh Cape Town winter. But either way, Kirsty and the podcast world has kept turning. And you've had a busy couple of weeks, Kirsty. We were just talking off air about all of the different people you've had. So what have I missed? Give me a recap.
Well, last week we had Sushil again, who has come back to do another podcast with us because HMRC have kind of changed or starting to change their stance around time to pay. So it was really good to get his insights. That's his full-time job, working with those. So he's really great at those. Great one to listen back to. We had a couple of guests while you were away, co-hosting, and they did great. I think you were here when we did the RAC one, weren't you?
Yep.
I think that was a really good one. So, yeah, it's been interesting, keeping me on my toes with all these different co-hosts.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, trying to mess with your, what do they call it, circadian rhythm, you know? I think we were talking just off air. I was at the Birmingham QuickBooks Connect conference this week. First time I've been to a UK accounting conference in 6 years, which was enlightening. And you know, you're talking about the HMRC guest we had last week. I think he was probably quite grateful to be on a podcast, because when I was at the conference on Tuesday, the HMRC delegate was up there at the end of the day, closing the day, which is always a bold move, talking about, I think, the delays to MTD ITSA. And you know, I felt really sorry for this poor lady. It was almost like she'd done something to annoy her boss last week, and this was her recompense. You know, she was up on stage. She had a room full of accountants for sort of 25 minutes, just berating her with apologies. If I'd played a game of, you know, bingo for the word sorry, or took a pound every time she said sorry, I think I'd have left a wealthy man. But, you know, good to know that, you know, we've given them a platform where they're not going to get heckled from the crowds.
No. Sushil works for Kroll. Sushil's not HMRC. He's on our side. He's our side of the fence. So, but he definitely deals with a lot of HMRC.
He's probably doing the heckling. Maybe he was there on Tuesday.
He might have
anyway,
been. Who knows?
Anyway, we digress.
That's sure, he's why, not a heckler.
That's probably why you've enjoyed me not being on the podcast, because I take us down random alleyways. But firstly, we've got three quite interesting stories. Again, very diverse this week. And it's going to be an interesting challenge for me to try and tie them together, but I will do my level best as always. But kick us off on the first one.
Yeah, they're all a bit new agey, I suppose. So first story is from City AM, always a good source of business stories, I find. Challenger banks are on the hunt for acquisitions, or may become targets of acquisitions, according to some of the banks, including Paragon, Cash Plus. And this is because they are seeing that the non-banks who are not taking deposits are struggling with the cost of capital, because deposits are the cheapest form of funding available to banks. And if they haven't got a deposit base, then they're having to borrow themselves. And of course, rates are going up. So some of the smaller non-banks, lenders, et cetera, are maybe going to become targets. There's going to be some consolidation. And it just reminded me, a bit of a plug here for Paul and Amy's Accounting Bites that came out beginning of this week, where Paul was talking about the fact that we've had some US banks fall over. It's more likely in the US. They have a lot smaller regional banks in the US than we do here. And he thinks that that's going to continue, because even if they do take deposits, as the US government are issuing more of their bonds, they're safer for people to put their deposits into, and therefore they're not depositing in the banks. So this makes the banks a little bit more insecure. And, you know, they're all facing tough decisions. And we know that as we're looking at our lending products, especially the long-term lending products like the commercial mortgages, that we are, you know, starting to see changes in the interest rates. And it was happening that the lenders were bringing interest rates down again for the longer term products. And now it's, our interest rates going up again. So everything's a bit of a flux, and it is definitely hitting the banking world. And expect some more news around consolidations or unfortunately collapses, but mainly in the States, I expect.
And it's tough, isn't it? I think, you know, I don't know if the news is broken externally yet, so I will anonymize it, but you know, we've been talking at Capitalize this week around several lenders pulling out of products in certain markets from the banking space. stopping to offer certain products. So, you know, there is definitely this ripple effect. And, you know, the deposits piece is so crucial there, right? Because actually, if you've got people putting deposits into your bank, then you can, you know, generally speaking, hedge a bit better.
Yep.
And, you know, we're seeing crazy growth in interest rates in South Africa. I actually saw an article, I posted it in the Capitalizers channel on Slack for anyone that's not seen it, at Capitalizers listens. But for those of you who aren't a Capitalizer and can't access that, I'll give you a quick window into it now. But, you know, it was basically a list of the 1-year fixed deposit rates for consumers in South Africa, you know, and what the effective interest rates are for those banks. And, you know, it's listed the top five, you know, and in that top five, there's Investec, there's Standard Bank, and there's Nedbank out of three of the top five. And these guys are offering effective interest rates on, you know, 1-year fixed deposits of 11%, between 9.9 and 11%. You know, that's massive, massive wow. interest rates. So they're yeah. really trying to incentivize people to come to them, put money in so they can obviously, you know, start using that to drive outwards into the economy. But yeah, it
just
is
shows difficult. What return on investment. By the time they've taken a slice themselves, that's going to be an expensive product, isn't it?
It is. And we already know that interest rates and lending in South Africa is high. You know, if you're lucky and you get a good rate, you're looking at 17, 18% these days. So there is obviously, you know, lots of cream for them. But also, you know, it's not great for businesses if I'm as a, you know, private individual putting my money into the bank and creaming 10% and not spending it.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting to see how this consolidation happens and you know, how we get through this and how we recover. But the second story you've got, Kirsty, I couldn't think as I was trying there desperately to think about a link. The second story you've got is about cybersecurity breaches and risk assessment, and three of our big favorites. Well-known British brands getting getting in trouble potentially. Yeah.
It's been a really interesting story this week. It's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, I think. But the BBC, British Airways, and Boots, I think there's another company as well. It's mentioning have been Aer Lingus have been attacked by a cyber crime gang, which is described as being Russian speaking. It might not be in Russia, but it's Russian speaking group who have hacked into a business software product called MoveIt, which is owned by Progress Software in the States. And it's used by quite large companies to move their files around their company systems. And Zellis is one of its users, and Zellis has confirmed that 8 UK organisations have indeed had data stolen from payroll products, including home addresses, national insurance numbers, and some cases bank details. So it's quite a large scale fraud and crime. And what they have said this time is that it's a bit unusual in that normally the hackers, the criminals, would approach the companies directly and say, you need to pay us so much in Bitcoin to release, etc. But because so wide ranging, they're not able to do that. And they're asking those that have been affected to contact them. So it's all a little bit bizarre. I mean, it's obviously something we've got to protect ourselves from more and more. A couple of pieces to go with that, I'll put the links in to the show notes, are that UHY, the accountancy firm, have written a piece recently about the things that they're finding in their investigations when they're looking at cyber risk. And secondly, there's a piece there from the National Cyber Security Centre, which is a UK government's department for this area. And they're giving some advice for small businesses. And there's like 10 tips to help small businesses protect themselves from cyber risk. I mean, it's obviously something that's going to continue. I suspect if we move into the digital currency world, which is also being talked about at the moment, then it might increase even more as that becomes more dominant. So yeah, it's changing times, isn't it? Changing risks.
Yes.
And we've got to adapt.
It's interesting. There's a lot going on about this at the moment. I mean, I remember talking to Paul a couple of weeks ago when he came back from the Accountancy Management Summit, and he said he'd listened to a really engaging speaker around cybersecurity. And one of the things this individual said is that there are two types of businesses, those that have been hacked and those that will be hacked. And it is an inevitability. And it also, you know, there's a so that's always one thing to be mindful of. And so we have to do what we can to protect ourselves at every juncture. And this is also this podcast, and this is a slightly different tangent, but it's quite, you know, I think related to this, that everybody seems to be talking about at the moment, which is that, you know, Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett has just done an interview with, you know, an ex, you know, executive officer of Google, you know, Mo Gordat. And it's a great great podcast. I was listening to it this morning. I'm not a huge fan of the podcast itself, but this particular one is quite interesting. I think Mo is a phenomenal speaker and obviously a great mind, but he's really talking about the dangers of AI, and you know, yeah, we're kind of coming into this existential crisis. But his primary point behind this and thesis behind this is it's not about the software or the, you know, artificial intelligence being inherently bad. It's that the negative outputs of it will come from the people using it.
Yep.
And it will be people that are conditioning it to be disruptive or bad for, you know, humanity, bad for business, bad for economies, and, you know, driving personal interests. And this is, you know, stage one of that happening, right? I thought that was an interesting angle to be taking, a, you know, more focused version of, not this kind of like hysteria around artificial intelligence will be Skynet and the end of the world, but actually more about it will be the way that humans utilize it and program it. Because what's in my interest and my goals is not aligned necessarily even to yours, Kirsty, let alone China and the UK or the US.
Yeah, and that's why I picked up this last story around regulation in the AI world, because this is something that our government are quite concerned about. The CMA have responded recently to the government's with their concerns and their points that they want the government to consider around regulation, because it definitely is going to need to be an area that's regulated. And because it is so global, then Rishi Sunak is trying to talk about this on a global scale. In fact, he's in Washington as we speak, having talked to Joe Biden around apparently the Ukraine and also the economy, but also AI. And they've announced today, this morning, that there's going to be a global summit. The first global summit is going to be held in the UK. And I think Rishi Sunak is definitely angling for us to become the leader on this area. So this first global summit in the autumn is going to consider the need for international coordinated action so we can mitigate the risks of these technologies. Because as you say, it's moving at a pace. I think virtually every business I speak to is looking at AI in some way at the moment, looking at ways that they can integrate it into their own processes, help their business become more efficient, which is all positive stuff out of it, definitely. But as you know, that Google guy, ex-Google guy said, you know, he hit the headlines definitely around, oh, they're going to take over the world. We need to be careful how we use it. So it's definitely a time for regulation now. And there's a few links there into an article that was done by the Times in their Times series about the risks around AI, and also the news article about Rishi being with Joe.
Yeah, and do you know what, it's such a contemporary issue, and just I find it very hard to believe or kind of trust in politicians in order to really get this right. You know, not least because if you think about what happened with Mark Zuckerberg when he was called in front of the Senate or Congress rather, and you know, the guys that he's talking to have just got no idea whatsoever what they're talking about, what they're questioning him on. And it's unfortunately, you know, areas that you and I are much more au fait with, and we're not even in that space really. So it just shows how far away, you know, the regulators are from the kind of coal face. And I think, you know, again, in this podcast, there's lots of really great pieces. So if you haven't listened to it, it's well worth it. We'll get Phoebe to put the link to the podcast, another podcast, in our show notes. It's quite a long one, but it's good. You know, and he talks about you know, the challenge with the regulation piece, and the challenge is that, you know, a lot of the CEOs, chief execs of, you know, the leading companies like Tesla, like Meta, like Google, wrote this open letter about AI, around how we should all stop now before it gets too before you go too far and before things go wrong. But you know, the biggest challenge, and again, the CEO of Google, I think Sundar Pichai, came out and said this, that the issue with this is that, you know, from a capitalist and commercial standpoint, if Google, let's say, stops investing in AI, there is no guarantee that Meta won't be, or that Tesla won't be, or that actually, you know, a 15-year-old who's able to code in his living room won't be doing things. And so actually, from a company standpoint, his role is protection of the company and advancement of the company. You know, it's a really, really dog eat dog world out there. And so, you know, the regulation piece is important. I don't know how we get there, and I really, no disrespect to Rishi and his team and the other political cronies around the world, I don't know if they're the right people to be doing it. And you know, if we'll get there anytime, fast enough. But
well, let's hope they bring in some advisors that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, let's
hope.
But I'm
sure we'll hear more about that running up to the autumn summit.
And that's me being, you know, you probably missed my slightly pessimistic outlook on life, haven't you, Kirsty? That's me coming back with a bit of that. But I did enjoy the way that I teed you up for the segue and then you segued yourself in, which was nice. It was almost like nobody saw it was coming. So those are our three news stories for the week. Again, I think the last couple of pods I've been on, we've taken a bit more of a expansive approach to the news, and I think that's actually quite nice because it's bringing stuff through that slipped under the radar. I've got a fun story this week. You know, I've had at least 3 or 4 weeks to pull this one together, and this is one that I don't think has slipped under the radar, but maybe it has for some of you. But if you haven't seen already, there was a crocodile found to have made herself pregnant in the first known virgin birth for a crocodile. Now, Kirsty, you can see by the look on your face, those that are listening and can't see this because we don't share the video. This is exactly why we don't share the video, because I think I've just knocked Kirsty's socks off there. But there was a mother of a crocodile, or rather the mother crocodile, was kept in isolation in a zoo, hasn't been around any male crocodiles. And her analysis, or the analysis of the fetus that was given, shows it was 99.9% genetically identical to the mother. So with no other crocodiles to mate with, this is in Costa Rica, and it is the first recorded instance of a virgin birth in the reptile species of the crocodile. There we go. There's some fun facts for you, Kirsty. So that's my fun story. What do we think of that? Care to comment?
You don't want to hear my comments on this one, I don't think, Alex. I think we'll leave that bizarre one there. I thought you were going to go down the Formula One route. I thought you might have talked about West Ham.
Yeah, it's a bit too easy for me to go down the Formula One route. I have no idea what happened to West Ham. I imagine they did something well last night.
Yeah,
they
won a European Cup last night. Yeah, they're very happy.
Is that the one below the Champions League, or is that a different thing? Yeah,
probably.
Europa League or something.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. I mean, that
makes
sense.
Well done, West Ham.
Well done, West Ham. Any West Ham fans, well done. I did see a bit of that on my Instagram feed, but I'm not a football fan, as we know. So,
but you went down the crocodile reptile route instead.
I did. I felt like sport's a bit safe. I've had a couple of weeks away. Let's go for something a bit left field. Why would I, you know, I don't want to, you know, give the people what they want, Kirsty, a bit of random Alex brain for the day. But getting back on track and getting back to the consistency that you know all know me for, here is a reminder for those that are new to Capitalize of who we are and what we do. Very, very simply, our vision is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over business finance. We want every small business to be able to identify the risks they might face, explore how they stand from a credit perspective, and choose the right funding that fits their business. And ideally for us, we want to help you do that in conjunction with your advisor, your accountant. For those that are new to the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. For those regular listeners, please don't forget to rate and review so that we keep moving up the charts on Spotify and other platforms. Next Friday, we will be back for our latest in a series of interviews. And keep your eyes peeled over the next couple of weeks, because we'll be launching some insight into what we're going to do over the summer. And we're going to relive some of our favorite interviews and some of our favorite guests from the last 12 months. But for now, if you want to find out more about Capitalize and the Future Positive podcast, please do go check us out at www.capitalize.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back in a fortnight.